This is about the mutual aid network called Humans. You know, we all need to get together against a common enemy, which is state-sponsored corporatism. And mutual aid societies are, as more and more people are displaced by corporations and the elite, you know, you have more in common with your neighbor than you do with the head of a multinational corporation. And in my opinion, we're here to solve problems. We're here to learn. If there is a reason for us to be here, we're here to learn to solve problems with love. And so black and white, left and right, we all need to join against the common enemy, and your local mutual aid society is the place to do it. So there's a lot of hope there. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends. Support independent media. KEPW LP 97.3 FM. Eugene Peaceworks Independent Community Radio. Simulcast on KEPW.org.
Meetup. So actually, if you're interested in joining up with our tech team as a user, as a learner in coding, as a coder, any variety of skills, if you're interested in participating, why don't you just put that in the chat? We'd be happy to include you, and Tim is actually now in process of setting up our next meetup to take our steps forward.
I would add, Stephanie, that the ones who are willing to learn Odoo, they will have a lot of paid job after, because it's really a skill that is wanted everywhere in the world. So all the ones from the South America and Africa, it's really a good software that can be sold to enterprise. So by learning with us, you can after make your job, your paid job also.
You know, and that's actually another thing. I mean, so it's just another example of how we're aiming to knit things together. So our local mutual aid network still has a little bit of money left in a grant that is set aside to train people to do some coding and do some like basic software stuff and other stuff, carpentry, caregiving. It's really up to the local group, but we have some money to get people trained. And then what the vision is in our model is that people give back to their community and work for human hours or, you know, for free in their community, and then they can go out and earn a lot of money from people who have a lot of money. And then they might share some of that back with their community too in the form of a common fund. So I just like to make these specific things explicit because I think it's time for us to like see the examples and then do them. Because there are a lot of like different little ways we can do this sort of voluntary wealth redistribution, and we have to start playing with it. So I would love to, Kate, do you feel ready? I think that your sound is working and stuff. Would you like to share with us a bit about your project? And whatever order it goes in, like if you want to share a little bit now and more later, that's fine. But however you'd like to.
Can you hear us?
Hey, yeah.
Yeah. Just turn around with that microphone. If you have gathered, we had incredibly horrendous technical issues there, and we couldn't hear you at all, but we finally managed it. And it was in the middle of our meal as well. So I guess just to begin with, because we were going to like, we've got some slides and things that we can share with you, but I'm just wondering, maybe we could just go around the room and people could say how they've been involved. Well, I'm thinking there's two people here that were involved with the Time Bank right at the beginning, Hillary, when we were doing the Time Bank Kitchen. I don't know if you want to say anything about any memories of that. But it's
still here.
Yeah, she's still here. And Hillary's the chair of our whole food partnership now. So that's really looking at
sustainable food.
Hello everyone, it's nice to be here. I think I can't see the inside, but I know you're there. Hello. I've been a foodie all my life, but I was lucky to set up a food thing in Hull way back when, and it's morphed into a sustainable food, or a sustainable food place. That's the theory. It's part of a national network in the UK, and thinking with other urban sustainable food projects and ideas around growing and sustainability and better food for everybody, and food justice rather than the injustice that's crept into the systems, and how we buy our food as a food scientist. How we buy our food has changed radically in the last 40 to 50 years. And actually, I think it's going to take 40 or 50 years to change back. But we have to try somewhere, and we have to start, each and every one of us has to start somewhere. So it's a real pleasure to be here and to meet you all again. And Kate and I go back a long time too, because she was part of our initial Food for Hull steering group, as I seem to recall. Okay. But yeah, and we were baking away on a Tuesday afternoon. And then the festival, and oh, all that celery that came in from the allotments with all those slugs. I've never forgotten it.
Oh my goodness, I've got sweets. Yeah.
And the grit in the bottom. Oh, no, I didn't.
I don't
know
that.
Yeah.
But also, the Time Bank Kitchen workshops that we did. And we did that
exactly.
We did. And our workshops are very much, they're very Time Banky in nature. So it's like, we never start from the point that.
Oh,
yeah. I'm in the hot seat.
Yeah, yes, you are. Thank you.
We never start from the point that people know nothing. It's always like, you know something, so pass that on to somebody else. And, oh, do I really want to put Amy on the spot here? Because Amy was one of our first chefs. She was there with our first food event where we said, well, I was at a meeting. It was a Friends of the Earth meeting, actually. And they were going, oh, we need someone to do the food at our green fair. And we don't want to do it. And I went, we'll do it. And then it was like, right, how are we going to do it? And that first outing, you were involved in that, weren't you? We did some practice dishes. And we fed 700 people that day, didn't we? On the top deck of 700, yeah, crazy. And then from there, we started our Time Bank Kitchen workshops, didn't we? And then we went into the story of the feast later. I don't know how much detail you want now, or if you want us to get set up a bit. And I'm going to introduce you to people, and then we'll show you some videos maybe at 8 when we come back. So it's just a really quick thing. So I'm going to put Wendy on the spot.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
Sorry, sorry.
Hi everybody. I don't know what Kate wants me to say, but
well, you're a grower in a garden, weren't you? And you had that conversation that led to the feast, didn't you?
I was one of the people volunteering at community garden here in Hull. And basically, we were having conversations about the fact that there was going to be a festival, and certain people who were employed by the organisation were actually active in the committee that was making decisions about what the festival was going to be about and what they were going to do and so on. And I raised the question of, what about the people that are doing the growing, you know, the volunteers that are coming in here that are doing the growing, can't they be involved as well? And it kind of changed things, really, because then the festival was then, the committee of the festival was kind of opened up to people that were actually physically involved in doing the growing too. And that must have been about 7 years ago, 7-8 years ago, wasn't it?
It was 2015, and I think we came in a bit later, but then we sort of enabled it to happen, I guess, through all the networks and everything.
Yes, because we were Time Bank members at that time already. Because I remember we were running functions of things at the farm that Time Bank were also involved in. I don't know if you remember some of those events that we did, where we had our community garden at that time. But I remember going to the very first festival and working behind where the kitchen was, you know, where people were serving food and so on. And it was a fantastic experience. You know, it was a wonderful day. The weather was perfect. And people queuing up saying, do you do this every weekend in Hull? And say, no, this is a once a year, come back next year. Well, people were asking about the year of culture as well, and whether we were going to be doing it for the year of culture. So that was very much in people's minds even then in 2015.
I remember, David, you took part in that, didn't you, as a volunteer at Time Bank member, weren't you?
Yes.
I'm putting you on the spot now about what that enabled you to do.
He's eating.
Me too.
I'm the only one there.
Okay. No, I'm here.
Hello there. I've come through this because I love volunteering and getting involved with all the community work and working together to actually produce something as fantastic as the festival. And it just motivates me to keep coming back and helping with the cooking. And on the day when you're actually feeding people, I like to be at the front. You see so many smiles from the people that are receiving the food. People are so happy. and the wanting to reach into the wallet or into the purse, wanting to give money. No. This is produced by the people, for the people, and people are so grateful for that. It's such a great community event and involvement.
And it stopped you going back to China.
Okay. I was teaching in China, and I wanted to come back for the Freedom Festival, and that time I could have gone to into the Himalayas, but it was going to be working too long for a visa, so I decided to come back. I'd rather be involved in a community event than in Tibet. I think anyone there would that's where I'm heading towards, but I certainly didn't regret it. I'm still here now after 5-6 years, and I hope there'll be many more festivals to follow on after this.
And you also work for us now, don't you?
Yes, I do. And another guys as well.
So I'm going on to Lucy, as one of our chefs here for the feast. He's been involved in every feast, I think.
Not the first one.
So I came because it's a community feeding event of using the local seasonal produce, the glut, if you like, in the city, and making really nice tasty food. And I didn't have very good knife skills, so my friend Matt came to help me the first time. And the second time we made Vietnamese spring rolls.
Oh, that was a nightmare.
That was
we were feeding
really
50
weird.
People.
Yeah. And then the third time I can't, I just make salads. And I've been making salads since then. That's what I do. I like salads, and sometimes I do roast potatoes. It's brilliant because it's using seasonal growth, local food, by chefs, and it could expand into lots of different ways of combating the food injustice you've mentioned, and dealing with the assumption that people who haven't got much money will just tolerate continually giving handouts rather than being enabled in some way.
Yes.
So maybe that's the next step to move into.
That is. Yeah. And I wonder,
I mean, we can, I think maybe it would be good to get Alistair to stay to say something. We have got some little videos that we can show you maybe in a bit, but it feels like that leads nicely onto gardens and open spaces. We've got some slides to describe it.
Just a bit.
Hi, so I'm Alistair, and I've been a Time Bank member for several years. At the start of the pandemic in Britain, we, at Time Bank, we all got together, and every Saturday morning we would meet up and discuss the pandemic that now we're all feeling. And out of this we started to realise that there was considerable food insecurity along with food injustice in our city, that it wasn't easy for people to grow their own, not at all easy for lots of people to grow their own food because they didn't have any kind of space. And also that people were really enjoying going out and about and getting closer to nature when they could. So we started Gardens and Open Spaces with the aim of lobbying our council to allow more people, more community groups to take over patches of unused or underused land in the city and turn them into either mini allotments, growing spaces, or for biodiversity, pollinators to help that process. And here we are, we have lobbied the council. Our councillors are pretty much uniformly pro our ideas, and it's just actually making that happen. We do have lots of offers of spaces, don't we, Kate? Mm. But I was saying to Hillary, the problem that we have now is getting people to, now that people are going back to work and so on, getting people to actually commit to doing that growing.
It is the case though, isn't it, that the council are actually also, yeah, it has actually worked to some extent, because the council are actually doing things in various places around the city, And we've actually been, we've been called in by councillors to come and have a look at a space where they've put in some raised beds and they filled them up with soil, and they said, well, there you go, there's the growing space. You know, would you like to get some volunteers to come along and start growing stuff there? And luckily there was a school nearby, so we were sort of hoping that we might be able to get school children involved. But the really good thing is that the council are obviously changing their approach about what they're going to do when somebody identifies a piece of land that could be used to grow food for people that need it. So that's really good.
Another major success is that the council is no longer mowing everything down. So, so we, when community groups were able to use land to grow things, what was happening was that the council was coming along and rescinding mowing it, so nothing was actually growing. We've now managed to stop them from doing that, and they have altered their entire ethos. Yes, they have. Yeah, they won't tell you so in public, but they have.
That is something of a challenge in there around community groups who think a good space is a space clear of insects and, you know, maybe.
Yeah,
so that's another fight, isn't it?
It is. I don't know if you have that fight in America, but we are still trying to combat the neat and tidy brigade, we call them here.
Well, it's not really the council, it's off people.
It's
off
people.
Yeah. Well, that's different, because that's what weeds do.
Yeah. It's changing the view of what is a weed and what constitutes neat and tidy.
It's that biodiversity emergency, isn't it, really, that we're trying to tackle as well as the growing issue.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So, but lots of people who want to mow the lawns and have straight edges everywhere.
And plastic lawns.
Oh, and plastic lawns as well, yes.
Yes,
don't
know if you have that over there. So, this is about growing scenario. Can I say about that?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so something that we're taking on, 6 clinical psychology students, I can't believe it. But we were just thinking, we've been talking for the last year or so about the need of creating, what came out of the second year of the feast was the Growers Network. And so we have a really good network of community gardens and allotments and spaces across the city. And we're friendly and we...
I think that's more shut up there.
I don't know if I'm too close to the speaker. But, and we know through the lockdown that, you know, many people have, like, you know, as Alistair was saying, have, like, adopted the idea of gardening, have been doing bits and pieces and are quite interested in open spaces as well. But they don't have the skills. So, I mean, Wendy is one of our really skilled, she's very much in demand in terms of teaching people skills. And Anthony as well is going in that direction to be sharing those skills as well, aren't you? And they both look after our community garden here. But what we're going to get the students to do is actually create a garden, a community garden safari, and also with the local businesses as well. For example, we've got an organic grower, Gwen, who's in East Riding. She says, send them to me. So we're going to get the students to go in and talk to all the different sites and look at what their USP is. So we've got a permaculture garden, we've got a no-dig allotment, we've got, you know, the Gwen's organic spaces, we've got the community farm, we've got Frith Farm that is, you know, so
commercial.
Yeah, so it's linking up all the businesses. Something we've always done is, like, you know, with a feast, this was actually local food businesses as well, but something that Brexit and the pandemic is showing us that we don't grow enough food locally, we're getting empty shelves regularly. And it's not only building skills for all of us individually to grow our own food, but it's also about setting businesses up as well, which is where this space comes in, this mutual aid hub. We've got a professional kitchen here, so chefs can hire that space for time, but also look at how we use our resources, including we've got a full field kitchen to do big, huge events. So this is all a shared resource to help people set up their businesses. And we're also looking at becoming a cooperative development agency ourselves. That's our sort of next stage. So I feel like we've talked a load. I've got some short little films that will illustrate everything we've said. Do you want that now? Or in a bit?
Hello, we bored you to death.
They've gone away.
They didn't hear any of that.
That'd be hilarious. Aren't
they gone?
Bye-bye.
Oh, that's so funny.
Hello.
There is
somebody there.
Is anyone there?
Hello.
Hello, could you hear that?
Yeah, it's very exciting.
I was going to say, do you want to see the videos? Or do we want to see them,
but wait a few minutes, because it's 2 minutes till, so I expect that people are going to start joining now. So we have an hour of like the welcome and overview, and then now's the time for the meal. So if we just like give people a few minutes to come on, and we can say, you know, we can kind of orient people before we show the video. That'd be cool.
So I need to share,
and I'll just show you what's going on here. We're setting up our meal. And so like different people have arrived to start coming for the meal. So we just had our setup time. So another reflection of the global nature of this. We're in the middle of the afternoon. So we're just like getting ready, but I know that we have the Roscoffs in Waukesha also in the same time zone, but we expect some other folks, and then Seville's in France in the evening, and we expect some folks from Vancouver who will be having their lunch. Anybody want to share? Actually, Emily, what I'm going to do. So Emily is with us. And Emily, I'm not sure if you are going to make it to an in-person meal, but I'm going to find your movie spreadsheets. So I'll just share again with people. This is the Quarterly Solidarity Summit. And we're having a regular summit on the closest weekend to the equinox or the solstice that there is. And we just want to do it on a really regular basis, because one of the things that we've found is consistency, so people can find you and so you can keep building on ideas and work, has really served us well. So one of the things that we've started doing in the summits is having a film for each one. And Kate suggested our film for the summit. We've scheduled a viewing for 1 o'clock Central Time tomorrow. Make yourselves at home and we'll bring out more chairs. So we've scheduled a film for, it's gonna be an hour earlier than right now, tomorrow. And the film is Gather, and we'll be learning more about Indigenous food sovereignty. And it's very exciting to have the opportunity to watch it and then have a conversation about it afterward. So we're looking forward to that. And then we'd like to ask you to please feel free to suggest movies for future summits. So here's a film suggestion form, and I'm going to put it in the chat. So please feel free to add your film suggestions anytime for future summits. Our next summit will be close to the December 21st. And the theme is, every summit we're having a wellness theme, and then also just looking to summarize and build on our work. So this is the time for the shared meal, this summit. It's autumn here, and so we are having a theme of abundant harvest and just encouraging people to share a local meal and use that time to further some of your local goals. So what we'll like to do after more people have arrived and settled in is we'll go around and people can share what you're doing locally, what meal you're having, if you've designed something to meet your local goals, what that would be. So we'd love to hear from you. And I'm gonna give a quick Welcome to the Solidarity Summit for those who are just coming on and overview. So this is a product of the Humans United and Mutual Aid Network's Global Cooperative Network. And the summits we're having quarterly, and the aim is to create opportunities for us to learn from each other, for us to provide moral support, for us to build our capacity to give material support to each other. So mutual aid networks are about using cooperative structures and practices in order to redesign our community life and work life to have them flow and support one another more fully, to be able to use more do-it-ourselves economic means of sharing and exchange, like straight-up sharing, like time banking, time exchange, like swapping stuff, but also like mutual credit in businesses, like common funds where we pool our money and give out no-interest loans or gifts to support each other, where we do actual voluntary wealth redistribution. And where we redesign our work lives so we can do the work that really makes us fully human, taking care of ourselves, our families, our communities, our planet, being creative, and also making time to enjoy our lives. So that's what we're here to do. And a number of people are having local gatherings and meals, so I'd love to pass the mic around physically and virtually, and people can just sort of show us what you're doing, and we'll just like share a little bit, and then we'll go offline and everyone can enjoy your meal as you wish. So should we start showing what our setup is about? Are you ready to do that, or would you rather be set up? Do you want to talk while you set up at all? All right, so since we have the mic, we'll just start off, and we're going to pass the mic after this. So we're here in Madison, Wisconsin. How about if we go 1, 2, 3, and everyone yell hello? 1, 2, 3. Hello! So anybody's welcome to speak up if you want to share a bit of what we're doing. So what some of our local goals were are, one, to really build our local exchange and create opportunities for people to come together through happenstance, inviting our neighbors on the block, inviting people who participated in our mutual aid network in a variety of ways. And we also invited some people to provide food. I'm going to have you all talk about our garden project, but I reached out to some friends who have started a local soup company, so they're growing food and making soup out in Spring Green, I think. It's called Soups I Did It Again. So they've provided some soup, they've donated it to us, and we're gonna use the opportunity to recruit them into our mutual aid network, encourage them to take the Common Good card, which a number of us are using, which we learned about on our solidarity sprint. We'll happily share more info about that with you if you want to later. We also got some sourdough bread from one of our early members. So in madisonman.coop, you can receive rustic crumb homemade sourdough bread. You can get delivered to your house. You can pay a portion in dollars and a portion in time. And so that's part of what we're doing to build our local exchange. Do you want to share about our Everywhere Garden projects? Okay. And you want to point to what was grown there?
We are sad. Like last year, we had Everywhere.
Oops. One moment. I have to change our view so you can be seen better. Okay.
Okay, so last year we had a number of beds scattered around the Social Justice Center and the Mutual Aid Network workshop where we are here today. With COVID, with a lack of volunteers, with other priorities, we lost some of those beds. We're down to one bed here, which we're maintaining as an option for anyone who walks by. We believe in true community gardens. You know, own a plot. If you want to help us garden. If you need to harvest from the garden, harvest from the garden. No rules, no nothing. We do have satellite locations, including my beds, all of which did horribly this year. I ditched out of sharing my potato harvest, which was lovely, but about a third of what I planted. So we'll try that again next year. Other satellite beds are with our guru, Tim, who has really helped us through this whole project, along with some folks who are not here yet. Casey, if you've met her before, is big in gardening. We are trying to build a liaison between Everywhere Gardens and the Occupy Madison Villages, which are tiny homes and tinier homes here, because they have their own amazing garden projects going on between their own villages, and some of the villagers there are working in growing those projects up to be self-sustaining, to be farmers, markets, opportunities to provide income for the villagers. So there's all sorts of stuff going on the periphery. But I think all the gorgeous greens down here will certainly not come from anywhere I was associated with growing. So that part, with the possible exception of the chard. Swiss chard may have come from here.
Swiss chard, yeah, we have beautiful Swiss chard in the cold frame bed that you built over here.
Yep.
You want to tell us a little more about that stuff, Tim?
So with the side of the Social Justice Center is having a not terribly great soil. There's a raised bed that we created, and in that bed, Lisa and a few other folks ended up planting a few things. The Swiss chard is a rescue from James, who's right over here.
Yay.
James ended up creating a little vertical garden last year, and some Swiss chard started growing there. And it made it all the way through the winter indoors, made it outdoors, and it's now giant and beautiful. So some of that is cooked in this container right here. It's got a little bit of garlic and a little bit of hot pepper in it just to give a little edge, because I understand the soup doesn't really have an edge to it, so that'll be great. And then the Occupy Grow, OM Grow they call it, Occupy Madison Grow, had some other Swiss chard. This can be eaten raw because it's so fresh and young. There's herbs that got taken from there this morning. Sage and lime basil, the green basil here is really unique. Take a little leaf. The purple basil is also okay, but pretty intense. And then feel free, there's kale. If you feel like eating kale raw, that's pretty intense, but you could do it. There are the young leaves right here. There's two kinds of kale. If you want to take some home, and collards for anybody who's interested in taking collards home as well. There you go.
Awesome. Another goal that we have for our local network is to build more of a wellness, network. So we decided to focus after the meal. We're going to host a wellness fair. So we have Lisa's going to be doing art making, realizing that's an essential part of health and wellness. Tim is going to be leading stuff on ergonomics. We're going to have some yoga. We are going to have a conversation about neighborhood peace building. So we're really working on building up a practice so we can have regular nonviolent communication, work, and nonviolent conflict resolution. And just there are always conflicts that come up in any community, any neighborhood. One of the Solidarity Summit themes has been recognizing that we need to get good at building unintentional communities. So we're like really aiming to get better at that right here where we live at the Social Justice Center and create opportunities for people to come together and resolve their conflicts on their own without needing to engage police, any other kind of state authority. So again, that's what mutual aid networks are all about. And then we can build an economy that supports that. How about if that were your meaningful, gainful employment that you could help defuse neighborhood conflicts? You could do the art you want to do. You could spend time with your family and have an excellent economic quality of life. So who wants to, we're going to land on Hull because they have like a lot of really cool stuff to share about their feasts. Who else would like to share what's going on locally? Kim, it's great to see you. Do you want to say hi and let us know what's going on where you are?
Sure. Hey, everybody. Kim Shirobi from Detroit with the Burwood House, Inc. That's the nonprofit community hub that I'm involved with, as well as the James and Grace Lee Boggs Center. And actually, I'm here by myself eating lunch. I just wanted to make sure that I connected with you all, learned more. But of course, we have over 2,000 gardens here in the city of Detroit. Maybe we could talk about that later, but I just wanted to say hello and just check in.
If you want to, I mean, I think that people would be inspired to hear a little bit more about the gardens in Detroit and some of the weaving that's happening there. I just got a beautiful chance to meet you in person, and there's always like so much inspiration to gain from. Yeah, do you want to just share a little bit about what things look like from where you are?
Okay, a little bit more about the gardens. I do better when people ask me questions, but let me tell you a little bit about the gardens. So in Detroit, there was some years ago, at least 20 years ago, gardening started with a group called the Gardening Angels. They were a group of Southern women who came together to teach young people how to garden. And from that, some of the young people actually got involved in gardening as they got older. And one in particular got involved with an organization called Greening of Detroit, where they began to provide seedlings, a whole program around gardening, seedlings, the compost, the tools, the education to allow people to garden. Greening of Detroit with that educational program split, but that portion of the program continued, and it is now called Keep Growing Detroit. And Keep Growing Detroit, again, does all that, the support for gardeners. So a family, an individual can join the garden resource, they call it garden resource component of Keep Growing Detroit for $10, and you get a bunch of seeds and seedlings to get started. And if you're a community garden, you get even more and even more support, again, with the compost, with the materials for raised beds if you want. And as a result, I know this has been going on at least 12 years or more, we have gardens, different sizes, from personal gardens to community gardens. As I said, about 2,000 gardens throughout the city of Detroit. And the other thing I want to share about gardens, we don't just use gardens to garden in them, but we use gardens as a tool to build community. So you will have people having garden art in the garden, or reading to young people in the garden, just folks coming together, collaborating, being community. So a garden is more than just feeding ourselves, but we do say in order to free ourselves, we need to feed ourselves. So if there's something else you might want to know, I could answer questions, but that's an overview I would give you about the gardens.
Thank
the
you.
Vegetable that's, gardens, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's inspirational. So right now we have, I think, 4 countries represented here. So that's cool.
I'm looking for a white Christmas, just like my mother used to tell. And when my toenails are twinkling, and I've lost my last inkling, I shall introduce the next song, which is of Stevie Sunshine, the gallant, standing here, looking like an eccentric professor from the 17th century, now deliver his ancient 14th century plain song chant, entitled Thank you. to find the guy.